All right, guys, so welcome to The Pulse. And it's a special, I mean, they're all special, right? But we're celebrating Black Music Month throughout June. And so we decided to try to get some of the legends in music, some of the people whose hits you absolutely will recognize, people who have a great story. And one of those people joins us today. It is my pleasure to be joined by Mr. Glenn Jones today on The Pulse. How are you, sir?
I'm great, man. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you doing it. I was telling you before we got started, We've Only Just Begun has been in my head ever since we went ahead and confirmed you coming on the show. You hear that a lot.
Yeah. I hear that a whole lot. You know, the songs that I've recorded over the years have lasted. You know, my mission and my purpose was always to record music that was timely but timeless, and it's been able to sustain, you know, all of those years.
It is, and I promised I'm not gonna sing your song to you, and I can't sing, so we're never gonna do that. We might get you to sing it later on. So I always start off the show talking to people, particularly people who have done a lot of different things, about how they define themselves and their career. And I look back, you start singing, I guess, professionally at like 8.
Yeah, I actually was performing with a group that used to tour with all of the great gospel singers, Shirley Caesar, the Mighty Clouds of Joy. You know, we used to be an opening act for them, and we traveled all over the country. We used to come to Philadelphia. We used to play a venue called the Met. I think it was down at Broadway and Popular. Yep. You know, when I was a kid, man, you know, just so... It's been ever since I can remember, I've been doing music.
So you're coming to Philly shortly, but I will tell you, they actually redid, revamped, renovated, and reopened the Met. So the next time you come back, you got to do the Met in Philly also.
I would love to. Yeah. Beautiful.
So we did. I was explaining to you that I grew up in radio. You know, I grew up in the Philadelphia WDAS days. My father used to manage. You remember... coming to those stations. How have things changed? Because I remember, I mean, I don't remember you specifically, but people used to come in, hang out at the station, you would sing. Has the industry changed?
It has changed so much. You know, those days were great because it was more about, you know, the music itself, you know, putting, you know, songs into rotation, you know, because it was great music. You know, but a lot of the radio stuff is controlled by consultants and all that kind of stuff. So it's different. And, you don't get a chance to go to a lot of stations and hang out and be on the air for 30 minutes, you know, sometimes longer than that, depending on who it was that was, you know, interviewing you. So it's changed a lot.
I was doing research on your career above and beyond all the songs that I knew. You know, one of the first impressions I got in looking back is you seemed like somebody who just loved singing. Like the industry stuff, it didn't seem like you always loved that, but you just loved singing. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I mean, because I guess because I discovered that I had that talent at such an early age, and I knew what I wanted to do and knew what I wanted to be and to have, you know, found myself, you know, early on to say, okay, this is who I am. This is what I am. It's not all about the money, you know, it's not about the prestige, but it's about, you know, meeting the fans. You know, you meet people that would tell you that certain songs that you did touched their lives, changed their lives, you know, kept their families together, you know. And, you know, that's the great thing, is having a purpose in the music, not just, you know, doing another record to sing a song, but having your music make a difference in somebody's life. And it makes me feel good to know that.
Yeah. And you grew up, you talked about touring very young and starting when you were young, but you grew up singing in church. So that was your foundation.
Right. Exactly. I was a gospel singer, and I had a group. I formed a group called the Modulations, from Jacksonville, Florida, because that's where I was born and raised. And we toured and sung with everybody. And then I met Reverend James Cleveland back in the early to mid 70s. And he heard some music that I had written and he heard me sing. And he connected me with the record label that he was with called Savoy Records, mm-hmm. signed me to the record deal. I had a record deal when I was 17, 18 years old, you know, and Reverend Cleveland produced the record. He and I performed three songs, I think, as duets on the album. And that was how I started, you know, recording on my own, you know, my own group. I started writing when I was like 14 years old,
yeah,
you know, and, you know, that was the beginning of everything.
It was, and again, going back and doing the research, that was the beginning. And I'd imagine it was cool getting started at a young age, but you also found out very quickly that you didn't know a whole lot about the industry.
Man, I didn't know anything about the industry. I knew how to, you know, make a song. I knew how to, you know, compose a song, but the business side, I didn't know any of that because I ended up having my publishing taken from me, you know. And, you know, just here, son, here, son, you know, and, you know, I didn't know, you know, and that was a valuable lesson, man. That was a hard lesson.
Yeah, it was. I started off saying that you love the singing and that part of it came up in the church and generally defined as a good guy in an industry that doesn't have a whole lot of people who just say who say the good guys. But I wonder, I wonder if that hurt you, because the industry throughout, they kept trying to stop singing about love, sing more about sex, stop singing about, you know, it just seemed like they kept messing with you.
Well, you know, the thing that you have to do is not let people sway you and tell you what to do. This is my life. This is my career. This is my talent. So I'm going to do what I want to do. And I've stayed with that. And in my opinion, it's paid off for me, you know, like back in the day, you know, when you were a gospel singer, you know, a church guy, you would be criticized for singing, you know, R&B or secular music. You know, people would ask me like, man, you're not afraid, man, you're going to hell, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because I was born in a very strict environment. You know, my church was Pentecostal, Seventh-day Adventist Pentecostal. And we used to come to Philly, you know, and come to the conventions up there. You know, we used to go to a church on Ridge Avenue. I mean, you know, I've been coming to Philly forever, man. Getting the hoagie, you know, the cheesesteaks and, you know, the ices and all that, man. But, you know, I decided on who I was. And to me, there is nothing more important than love. You know, love is everything because, you know, without the love between a mother and a child, a wife and a husband, I mean, that's the key. That's the basis to everything. So I write about what I know, and that's okay. What I did, you know.
It's interesting because I go back to this, and this comment that I heard that record companies made to you really didn't age well, but there were people who were saying at that point they wanted you to be more like your label mate, who was R. Kelly at the time. Because they said you were singing too much about the things you know and love and commitment, you know, and R. Kelly was the person whose, I guess, path they wanted you to follow. That advice really didn't age well. I guess you're glad we didn't follow that one.
Didn't do too good for him, you know. You know, the thing is that, you know, after all these years, you know, I have, you know, pastors and preachers that had me to come to their church and play and perform the music that I do right now. They want to hear, "Here I go again. I've been searching. We've only just begun. In you I found perfect love." They want me to come. They don't want, you know, "I came to Jesus, Amazing Grace," right. You know, because you're in the world. You're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. But there are, you know, things that deal with not only in the spirit, but they deal in the natural. You know, you know, husband and wives, they have problems just like anybody else have. And they don't need to put on, you know, some choir singing, you know, when they want to try to connect and get next to each other. They're going to put on some Luther or some Glenn Jones. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it ever, I guess, trying to figure out if it bothers you, because somebody who's had was it 15 albums now?
Yeah.
It's like 15 albums. You've had multiple top 10 hits. You've had success by every measurable standard throughout your career. But again, there were people who were saying, I was reading reviews and people said, one of the most underrated voices of all time. You know, one of the most underrated singers, which is a huge compliment, but it also means that you haven't gotten, you know, the recognition that perhaps you should. So did sticking to your guns ever bother you?
No. I'll admit, you know, there have been times when I've done records, I've written songs that, in my opinion, they were the best of what I had to offer. And I was sure that that one was going to be the one that would have me set for life, you know, career-wise, financially, or whatever. And it didn't happen like that. But I think because I'm still working and I'm still engaged in the music, it gives me something to look forward to. It gives me something, a reason to get up every day. Because there are some people that had overnight success. Where are they now? You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't bother me. And not only that, it ain't over. You know what I'm saying? You got, it's not over, bro. Trust me. You know, I hate to keep referring to the religious side of it, but the Bible says the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but the one that endureth until the end. And that's where I'm at. I'm still doing my thing, man. And you know, I've had a good life. I've made a good living. You know, I'm lucky because how many people in their young age, 8, 9, 10 years old, say, I want to be such and such and end up being that and doing that. And that's exactly what I've done. So that's my success. You know,
yeah,
I'm good. Yeah.
You sense, and obviously we just met, you know, officially, but you sense, everybody I said talked about you're a good guy, but you look into the background, you had record labels take your money. You had a situation where you had to file bankruptcy. You had a label saying, what a great voice, but you're not doing enough. Yeah. You had a 40 plus year career, you know, yeah. And yet you're still just smiling, laughing, going along. The race is not over.
Brother, let me tell you something, man. Life can deal you a hand that you really, you know, are not ready for. But, you know, life is full of peaks and valleys, you know, and the main thing is being able to survive that, you know, and make it through and have a certain kind of gratitude in your life and in your heart and in your mind. I'm grateful, man. I have done what I wanted to do musically. You know, I get to do a job that I love. You know, I travel all over the world. I just came from South Africa a few weeks ago. I'm going back in 2023. We're going to do an event called Glenn Jones and Friends, where I can take some of my friends. We are going to record a live project, a live album over there. So you can wallow in what didn't happen, but what about what did happen, you know?
Right. And what is still happening. So you're touring right now.
Yeah, constantly.
And we've got Philadelphia audience, obviously, and you're gonna be here at the City Winery, but you're also going all across the country. So why still touring?
Because I love it. You know, I get to meet people that have been with me through my career. People that know songs, you know, for my projects, songs that weren't necessarily singles, but they're like, you know, like the B-side, you know, and they have a story. So I get to hear the Glenn Jones story and, you know, people give me love. You know, one thing about going on stage, man, you know, you get instant gratification. You get that love. People just pour it out. There is no better feeling than to put yourself out there and people accept you and love you, and they show it, they give it up to you. There's nothing like it.
So you still loving doing it?
Yeah.
All right, so what are we
going to do? I still can do it. I want you to know that.
Wait a minute. I was trying. I generally, as a rule, don't ask people to sing when they come on and do types of interviews, because I don't think that's fair to put people on the spot to do that, not knowing it was going to happen. but you're puffing your chest out a little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, I just, you know, I want people to know that, you know, a lot of times, you know, they go to see artists that they follow and they love, and, you know, they really get disappointed because, you know, as the years is going by, then, you know, they, it decreases, you know what I'm saying? But I I'm not taking the credit for it. I'm saying, you know, it's just man upstairs who has helped me to maintain that. So if I would say something, I'd say like, we've only just begun. The romance is not over. Got a lot of love to give, yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, listen, okay. See, so now I don't feel bad about challenging you to do it. Yeah. You can mess around and have people never want to come back on your show again. If you sit back and say, could you sing a couple bars for me? No, I'm sorry. I'm not appropriately warmed up. Like I can't do that. That ain't you. So, you know, respect.
No doubt.
People come to see your shows. What are we going to see? Because people hopefully in Philly, but all across the country, what can we expect?
Yeah. They're going to find a warm, friendly artist, an artist with a sense of humor, an artist who's at home on stage. They're gonna find an intimate, up close and personal kind of, you know, situation. And they're gonna get to hear the songs that I've recorded that they, you know, they loved. You know, people, music, you know, it represents different times in your life, you know, like maybe when you met your husband or when your first child was born, and it takes you back. And that's what life is about. Life is about moments, you know, certain moments, you know, and memories. And that's what they get when they come to see me, you know.
Who are the people? You've recorded with a lot of different people. You've had a chance to do different things, touring with people. You actually have, you have something new out now, right?
Yeah.
You're doing something with Regina Bell.
Yeah, I have a new album. The album is entitled Love by Design. And Regina and I, we recorded the duet, you know, the title cut, Love by Design, which is an incredible song, man. It's beautiful. It was number one in the smooth jazz vocal chart Billboard. I did a single from that record with Nick Corleone, my dear friend who's passed away. Mm-hmm. We did a record together called You and Me. And I also have a record with my wife, Genovia Jeter Jones, who's an incredible singer. We did a record called Trust in Me. And this was right about the beginning of the pandemic, you know, and everything was just madness, man. Nobody knew what to expect and what was gonna happen. So I sat down and I wrote this song called Trust in Me. And actually it was a song that encouraged me, that helped me, you know. So the album is entitled Love by Design. I work with some great people on there. I've got Chucky Booker, who produced two songs on the album. I've got a guy named Chris Davis. We call him the smooth jazz guru because he produces all of these smooth jazz artists. He's Grammy nominated. And it's a great project. You know, I have Kim Waters on the album. I've got my niece, Iyana Crawley, which we did a song together called Family Time, which we're getting ready to drop that now. And it's about family, what family means, yeah. You know.
You mentioned your wife, so I don't feel bad following up on that question. But that was, like, you talked about the love and all the things that mattered. And a couple different interviews you've done throughout the years, you've pointed out that you don't just sing that, you don't just say that, you live that. No, and this is a lady who's been there with you, you know, when you had nothing and went through the biggest of struggles. Talk about that a little bit.
We met when I was working with her uncle. Her uncle was a legendary gospel singer named Julius Cheeks, who used to sing with the Nightingales. And, you know, Julius was, you know, he and Sam Cooke and all those guys, they were really close because they used to, you know, work together all the time. And I met her, we were recording a live album in DC with June Cheeks. And she was a part of the project. She stepped up to the mic, opened up, and I'm like, okay, that's the one right there. Man, incredible singer, you know, a good writer, just amazing talent. And a lot of records that I have done, she's been a big influence in it because, you know, she helped me structure a lot of my lead vocals, you know, producing vocals and stuff on my records. So, yeah.
It seems like whenever we kind of do these interviews, not just us, but people in general, and they talk about the situation, and there's always some story about drama in the background, and like it must feel good that none there. There's no drama to talk about with you and your wife.
Well, you know, I've been told that I might have had more success if I had like all of this crazy drama stuff happening around me, but I didn't have that. You know, the way I was raised, you know, my family, I had a good family, good mother and father. I had eight brothers and sisters. I'm the youngest of nine, you know, and they're like my seniors, you know, so I was like the baby boy. I always had people looking out for me, people protecting me, people pushing me forward and encouraging me. So I had a good life, you know, that's all I can say.
What does that say about the industry? The people were saying, if you had been more shady, more drama, if you hadn't been together with your wife, if you would sing about, you know, random women on tour and all that kind of stuff, then you may have had a more successful career.
Well, you know, it kind of sounds twisted, but, you know, bad news always travels faster than good news. You know, I mean, people are not interested. People are into, you know, the whole, you know, the gossip and, you know, just they want to hear, you know, the craziness, you know. And that's not to say that, you know, there haven't been things in my life that were challenging. You know, I've been challenged by life, you know, many times. But I think that, you know, my upbringing and my faith was the thing that kept me, you know, and kept me moving forward. And no matter what, I always believed that whatever I was facing, I was going to come out of it. And it's been that way. And it's been hard, you know. Yeah. It's been hard at times, you know. But, you know, ain't no need in crying. You know, like they say, crying in your beer. You know, I can't cry. You know, I just got to do what I got to do. It is what it is, you know.
There are a couple of series that are out there that kind of explore, you know, people who had these big careers. And I think it's harsh to say whatever happened to, because that implies people aren't around anymore. But that, right. That like unsung theme. And you did one of those. And as I saw it, I was asking myself, I wonder if that's an honor or an annoyance, because it's an honor that people are sitting back and saying, wow, like, look at this guy. But the whole label of whatever happened to or unsung, you know, kind of speaks to that unrealized potential, I guess.
Well, you know, they have done unsung episodes with artists who were, you know, hugely successful, you know, but they fell off because they had issues, you know, whether it was drugs or alcohol or whatever. But for me, it was a privilege because I wanted people to know my story. I want them to know where I came from, what I accomplished, and the fact that I'm still doing what I do. You know, and your fans are always glad to, you know, to take part in that, to see that you're still doing it. It's like, you know, a lot of times if you don't see artists here in America, they're working abroad, man. They're working in so many different countries. It's crazy because people in other places, you know, they have mad respect for, you know, American artists, man. You know, they have mad love, and it's not about the numbers. It's not about what age you are. It's not about that. It's about the music and the gift and the talent. And those people are loyal to you. Like I said, I just came from South Africa. And I, you know, when I was over there, there were two songs that I recorded years ago that a lot of people here in the States don't know. And over there, they love it. You know, they make crazy. And I'm talking about 20-year-old 30-year-old, 40-year-old people going crazy because I'm singing All For You, you know, which is one of my records. So I'm singing All I Need to Know. They know every lyric and they rush you, man. They give you mad love. So that's, you know, you go where people love you.
Yeah, that's the side of it that most of us never see or never know. So that inspires people to keep going.
Yes, yes.
A couple more, and I appreciate you spending this much time with us, but for somebody who's been through so much of it for so many years, right? What's the advice you have for the next generation of people who are stepping into this and want to follow suit?
I don't know. It's kind of hard, man, because the industry is so different now and the music is so different, you know. I would say, you know, like we were talking earlier, just be true. Like they say, be true to thine own self, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do. You got to be true to you. And you got to be open-minded, you know. You got to take in, you got to absorb, you got to be a sponge to take in everything because you want to be relevant or whatever. But don't let that dictate who you are. You take that, you take everything and mold it around what you have, who you are. I mean, you know, you got different processes of recording, you know. You don't have to do a record that sounds like everybody else. You do your own thing, but there are elements of what the industry has advanced to that you can just take and tweak your thing, you know, but be you, man, because if you're not you, how can you sell it, you know?
And you've lived that. You absolutely have lived it for better or worse than all of those different circumstances. We try to end every show with the concept of use your voice for good. We ask people, what's the issue that matters to you? What's the thing you would like people to embrace? I don't know if it's advice or just how you define using your voice for good. What's that mean for you?
Well, what it means for me is that when I do music and I know that there are people that are listening, I try to have something positive to say. And, you know, I know about, you know, all of the social injustice. I mean, I've done records before that talks about, you know, how we need to embrace, you know, people that are less fortunate than we are, you know, the homeless and, you know, people that just don't have anything, you know. I have a song that I recorded with my wife called Don't Walk Away, and it speaks about that here in the United States and possibly all over the world that, you know, people are starving and dying and nobody cares, you know. But I have a nonprofit called the Love Jones Foundation.
Okay.
We cater to, you know, who we call the forgotten seniors, because a lot of people are in that position, in those places, and they don't have anybody to give them love. So I go in, I take my little rhythm section, you know, I go in and I sing, you know, from Nat King Cole to, you know, Billie Holiday to Frank Sinatra to Marvin Gaye to the Temptations. I sing any and everything, and then we're gonna have some church before we leave. Now, that's just my way, you know, I'm gonna do that. And some Glenn Jones, and we love on them and tell them and let them know that, no, you know, they're not forgotten. You know, we raffle off gifts because a lot of the people in those places are, you know, former musicians and singers, and, you know, they at one time, you know, they had a love and a talent, you know, for music. So I think we just need to love on people, man. You know, we need to be concerned about our young people, about the kids. You know, it's so many things that needs to be covered, man. You know, especially after the few years that we've been through with all of the craziness, the racism, you know, just, you know, it's been very unfortunate and it leaves you unnerved. But you know, whenever you can be, you know, whenever you can make a difference in somebody's life, whenever you can be supportive, whenever you can show love, do that. Just do it.
And Glenn Jones, the nice guy, will just keep on singing.
That's right. That's right. As long as I can.
We appreciate you, man. We're going to come and see you. We appreciate you taking the time out. We encourage everybody to get out there and spend some time. You already proved to us that the voice, you know, you haven't lost a bit of that. So continued success.
You just wait. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
No doubt.
All right. You have a good one. Guys, thank you so much for listening to today's podcast with R&B legend Glenn Jones. It was amazing listening to all the behind the scenes stories. Like, you're talking about somebody who had multiple top 10 hits, number one on a couple of occasions, and yet battled bankruptcy, battled record companies telling him he needed to be more like R. Kelly and less like himself. And out of all of that, he still came out smiling, still enjoying singing. And as you heard, the voice remains completely intact. So I absolutely enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. Remember, if you're ever in Philadelphia and you want to watch the show, you can watch us at 6 o'clock on Monday evenings on Fox 29, nationally every week, Mondays at 9 p.m. on Fox Soul. We'll be back to do it all again same time next week. You can follow me on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. And perhaps most important, remember, whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a great one.